Now, I have to tell you something, my friend. I'm really angry at cancer today because of Sammy Davis Jr. And dear Jill Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that the people with the American Cancer Society want this monster beheaded as badly as you as I do. But why aren't we going faster on this? Are we going as fast as we can on finding ways to... I mean, I get so angry at radiation, chemo, and surgery as the treatment of choice here, you know?
Well, they so far haven't found anything else that works as well. I think the research is going forward full blast. We're very conversant in New York with Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. And they're trying their damnedest to find the solution to it. The problem, of course, is the world in which we live is the basic problem of what makes it happen. And until we change that, I don't think they had a hell of a lot of cancer 200 years ago. I don't think that was a very big issue. I think that people died of old age and pneumonia and...
But they died at 45.
But they died at 45, that's right. But what they didn't have was a thing called cancer, because I don't think they had the problems of the environment that we have today. And until we can resolve that problem, I don't think we're going to see very much of a cessation in it.
You see, I know a man whose family is from a different country, from Greece. And in his father's or grandfather's family, six stayed there and six came here.
Right.
The six who stayed there lived to 95 to 100.
Right.
The six who came here, 65 to 70, died, in some cases, of cancer.
Yes.
And the ones who stayed in Greece, you know, if they have a chicken dinner, the chicken is killed at 11 o'clock in the morning
right.
and cleaned and cooked and put on the table at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right.
Without the injections of the farm with the funny name that the truck brings it in the freezer to the store from. You know what I'm saying? And that's probably got a lot to do with what's going on.
Well, you go to a grocery store in Europe today, in France, or in Yugoslavia, where we were just doing a film a bit ago. And the restaurant food, I mean, the food that's in the market was picked that morning. I mean, it's sitting there. It looks a little wilted. It's not necessarily the freshest thing that you've ever seen. But you know it's fresh. And there is a difference. Our food here is hybridized to last.
Yeah, it's, as I say, I call it manufactured crap food.
Yes, that's about it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
It's manufactured crap food. And I don't know how we got to the point in this country where every apple has got to be a picture out of Life magazine, and every peach has got to be a photograph, you know, and every banana has got to be a mural. Remember when we were kids, you'd get a pound of apples, and there was one that was wormy, and your mom would cut the brown part out, and you'd eat the rest, and nobody died or got sick.
Yep.
But it tasted like an apple. You know, Darren, tomatoes don't taste like tomatoes anymore.
The only similarity to a tomato here and a tomato in Europe is this color. It's vaguely red, and that's about it.
Yep, and it's a sad, sad commentary.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing about Sam today.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, Christ almighty. Here's a man who's smoked all of his life and stopped not too long ago. And of all things, for a singer to be hit with cancer.
Well, you think not only did he smoke, but, you know, he worked... You know, Sammy Davis was not a guy... First of all, he had a very small lung capacity. He was a small man. Secondly, he worked, and we were talking about this last night. He worked in saloons and nightclubs, which were filled with smoke. He wasn't on a golf course in the afternoon or on a tennis court or on a beach. That wasn't Sammy Davis Jr. He was a nightclub and saloon entertainer.
I've never seen Sam working on a stage without a cigarette in one hand and a drink in the other. So, yeah, 64 years old is not very long, not very old today. But
I do believe, Darren McGavin, that some people get 64 and some people get 71 and some people get 42 and some people get 18 and some people get 97.
I think you're right. I think it's a little genetic built in there.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. My grandmother, I remember my mother's mother died in her sleep at 97.
Oh, my God.
My mother's grandmother, my great-great-grandmother on my mother's side... I believe Grandma Drissen lived to 102 up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, yet in my mother's family of nine children, eight have had cancer, and their parents never did. So there again, your theory it's this world in which we live and the way that we abuse ourselves and the way we feed ourselves. Anyway, I want to get back to the fun stuff, but it's been a tough week, you know what I mean, pal?
It's been a killer, I got to tell you, between Jim Henson and...
Sammy Davis, yeah. And today, Jill Ireland.
Yep. It's always in threes.
It does seem that way,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
We will continue with Darren McGavin. Marty Landau is such a good actor, it's scary.
Yes, he
and
is.
Such a nice man, it's scary.
Yes, he is. He's both. He's a lovely man. We've known each other for 30 years.
Is that right? I like him a great deal, I'll tell you.
40 years, I'd say. Yeah. Good player.
I like him a lot. He's been here a couple of times, once to talk about Tucker,
yeah.
In which he was the best supporting actor of the year.
Yes.
I really feel he got robbed.
Yeah.
But he's a good guy.
Yes,
and a gentle man.
Yes, he is.
The other one is James Earl Jones.
Jimmy Jones.
Yeah, well, I can't call him that. Really, they call him Jimmy Jones?
No. It's James. It's James. He's big. And he insists on being called James. I first knew him with The Great White Hope when he was doing that on Broadway. Written by a friend of mine who has long since passed away. Wonderful actor. He's a wonderful, powerful. He's got more damn commercials on the air than I've.
Anybody's voice down here, you know. Yeah.
The picture he was in that where he blew me away, the baseball picture, Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Great cast.
Yeah.
The baseball picture you did, boy, that thing's got legs.
Yeah, the natural.
Yep.
Yeah, it does indeed. Bob is marvelous, and the picture just goes on in cassettes all over the place.
You know, when I lived in New York, it was 1974 to 1985.
Yeah.
And they would say to me, New York isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
And they would talk about the 50s.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a dear neighbor of mine said, Nancy Hamilton, God rest her soul.
Yeah.
New York never was what it used to be.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It was always,
whenever you're there, it was always better. You should have been here yesterday, as always, you know, your whole life. You should have been here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Last year. 2 years ago. 5 years ago.
Leaves in Vermont, they're great today, but you should have been here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you know, on this planet, you can't be here two weeks ago today.
No.
You know.
It doesn't work that
so
way.
So, New York in the 50s, crime, yeah. Congestion, yeah.
Not much.
No?
Not much.
No?
No, I think the average... I saw a statistic in the Times the other day. They had, I think, roughly... every day. Today, there's roughly 2 million. There is a vast difference.
Yeah.
The amount of people living there. You could get apartments. You could literally rent an apartment in New York for $160 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a different city. We now live there. We have a lovely apartment there. And we're happily ensconced. And it's very nice to be when we go to New York at home. And... I don't think that I could visit New York again and live in a hotel. I think I'd be a stranger.
Yeah, you said it, my friend. You see, when I left, I sold my place there. And now when I go, I'm a captive of the hotel.
Yeah, you're a stranger in town again.
You're not home in New York. And there's something wonderful about being home in New York. Yeah, yeah.
A Christmas Story. Were you ever going to find anything like that?
I know. It's awful hard to find those kind of scripts.
Gavin, you filmed that in Cleveland, I think it said?
Well, we did the location the first week of production in Cleveland, then we went up to Toronto, did all the interiors.
Yeah. Boy, was that, I'll tell you. I taped it. My kids adore it. We watch it all the time.
Isn't that nice? Well, that's a good thing. You're a very tasteful lady.
And then you played that slimy guy, Louie, in The Man with the Golden Arm. Another great picture,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, it was, yeah. We've been friends with Frank ever since. He kept saying, when we finished the picture, he said, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? I said, what do you mean, Frank? He said, you make me creepy. What are you doing? I said, nothing. It's all right, you know, just relate. It's all right. And I didn't know what to do about playing a dope pusher, for God's
sake.
How do you play a dope pusher?
Sure.
I thought, how can I seduce that? Wait a minute. If I make Frank into a girl, maybe I can seduce him back into doing what I want to do. And I think that's what he felt. I've never said this
before. You came on to Sinatra.
I said, no, come on, you know, have a little more, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy.
It's a very clever way to approach a part, though.
What do you do? You know, if you don't know how to do it, substitute something.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Do you do that often in your work?
You have to. If you haven't got the experience of the character that's defined in the role, you've got to find some way to play it so you substitute other things that fit the requirements.
What about when you're on the stage? Like, I was thinking the other night, I don't want to be labor, Robert Guillaume and the Phantom of the Opera, but now he does...
Oh, he's wonderful.
I know he is, but he does this 8 times a week. And when you did Death of a Salesman or you did whatever you did last year off Broadway, you do it 8 times a week.
That's right.
After 6 or 8 months in the role, it's got to start to get a little old. I don't care how much they cheer for you at the end.
You have to manipulate yourself. You have to say, I have no idea who's coming through that door.
Hmm.
And look at it and say, who's coming through the door? My heavens, it's Peter.
What's he doing here?
That's right.
You know the old story about the gun, right, where the gun goes off? He's got the one line in the whole plane. He says, what the bleep was that?
Yeah. Yes, I know. Yes.
But that's how you do. You know, you manipulate yourself into thinking that everything is fresh and new and original each night. That's the only way you can do it.
Well, you keep manipulating, and I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
And I do love your new beach house.